Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God knows how to repay you.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
I have the biggest house of any preacher in America. You know why? Faith insists on possessing possessions.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have a winner. It's the Pope.
We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore.
This is Wretched Radio, the winner of the Twisted Scripture. See what we did there? And not only punny, current, relevant, hip, and groovy. The winner of the Twisted Scripture Award goes to the Pope, citing Matthew 25, to encourage the American government to have more liberal immigration policies. What's the problem with Pope Leo's understanding of Matthew 25, where Jesus, here's a hint, tells individuals that genuine salvific faith of an individual bears fruit? He was not addressing governments. He was addressing people. This is your heart. When there is a sojourner in your country, welcome them, individual. It was not a government mandate to have an immigration policy that doesn't include borders. But Pope Leo, criticizing American policy, solicited a response from Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. It's worthy of a listen. I think there are two levels that we can learn a little something from Mike Johnson. Now, I think a caveat might be necessary. I don't follow everything Mike Johnson does or doesn't do. I believe he's a brother. I believe that this guy is really, he's born again. He's a Baptist to the core. He's pro-life. I know that. Now, all of his decisions, the political maneuvering. So if you've got some sort of a gripe with Mike, I'm not entering that fray. I'm just saying, I think we can learn a couple of things from his response to a reporter who said, so tell me, what do you think about the Pope and his comments about American immigration policy? Listen to this on two levels. One is theological. Of course, is that the most important one? It's really important. Is it more important than tone? Which is the second level on which I think we should be listening to Mike Johnson? This man's tone always strikes me. He's getting basically just grenades constantly lobbed at him from everybody, maybe especially reporters, politicians. And yet I've never heard the guy being snarky. And so I think we can listen to him and his theological understanding of immigration policy. And off the cuff, I think he did just fine. I'm sure if he articulated it on paper, it could be a little bit more organized, but he's speaking off of the cuff. I think it was like, oh, you want to talk about what the Bible says about immigration? That was the reporter's question. So I think he does a swell job with that, but it's his tone that just strikes me. The ability to answer questions that are hostile in such a manner that he just does not come across like he's mad at the reporter. He doesn't come across like he's mad at the reporter. Let's give it a listen, shall we?
Borders and walls are biblical, from the Old Testament to the New.
By the way, do you know how long it took Nehemiah to build the wall with the people of Israel around the city? 52 days. It's Nehemiah 4:6. Why? Because they were of one mind to work together. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity, we can get a lot of stuff done. A wall around Jerusalem was not a sin. Having borders, those are actually biblical, Genesis 9. Otherwise, you don't have nations. So Senator Johnson is exactly right. They're entirely biblical.
God has allowed us to set up our civil societies and have separate nations. Immigration is not something that's frowned upon in Scripture. In fact, it's welcome. We're to welcome the sojourner and love our neighbor as ourselves. But what's also important in the Bible is that assimilation is expected and anticipated and proper. When someone comes into your country, comes into your nation, they do not have the right to change its laws or to change a society.
Wow, wouldn't that be nice? There used to be policies about this. There might still be on the policies on the books. I don't know that they're being enforced. You had to learn how to speak the language. You need to have a sponsor so that you didn't go on a welfare program. Somebody was willing to vouch for you and say, yep, if they get into trouble, I'll take care of them. Wait, whoa, what? You had to learn American history. You had to make a pledge. This is now my country. It just doesn't exist anymore. Where does that come from? The Old Testament. That there were those who would assimilate. There were those who were a passing through, but there were those who planted in Israel. And those individuals then ultimately didn't receive full rights as citizens, but they received most of the rights as citizens if they would assimilate. And that included the religion, because nations are important.
They're expected to assimilate. We haven't had a lot of that going on. When people cite passages out of the Old Testament, they say, well, you're supposed to take care of the sojourner and the neighbor, treat them as yourself, welcome them in. Yes, but that is an admonition to individuals.
This is a little bit muddy. It does, but I think it was also directed at Israel. But they were also prescriptions that went with that welcoming. They had to assimilate. And we also see historically that Israel did have permission to move people outside of their borders. Who were they? The hostile ones.
Not to the civil authorities. The civil authorities are given authority under Scripture to maintain order. Romans 12, you want to do this? Romans 13.
I love that. You want to do this? All right. Bible sword drills.
Says that the civil authorities are God's agents of wrath to bring punishment upon the wrongdoer. And it says, if you do right, you have no fear of the civil authorities. But those civil authorities are necessary. It's a calling. It's a calling to maintain order in society. And we have not had that. When Biden and Harris opened the borders wide for 4 years, we had as many as 20 million illegals come across the country. And we all know many dangerous people, hardened criminals, child molesters, rapists, murderers, all the rest, terrorists who came into the country. We did not take care of our borders. Sovereign borders are biblical and good and right, and they're just, because it's not because we hate the people on the outside. It's because we love the people on the inside.
That's a really good, that's tweetable right there.
We should love our neighbor as ourselves as individuals, but as a civil authority, and the government has to maintain the law.
Now, you could say this: if we believe that it is good to welcome the sojourner to the individual, and I do believe that the New Testament makes that clear, no matter which parable you're talking about, it's aimed at the individual, not at the government. And yet, if God wants us individually to welcome, then we should have a government that also desires to welcome immigrants. However, the Bible also talks about how a nation can have a border, how a nation can not allow certain people in, have rules of assimilation, and make those decisions for the sake of the people that they govern. So if our government legally allows somebody in, we individually welcome them. And I think we should be encouraging our government, hey, let's help people who are willing to come here and follow the biblical rules, not just let anybody. That's not biblical.
And that is biblical, and it's right, and it's just. And I'm happy to have this lengthy debate with anybody anytime they want to.
Now, I don't know who put this together, but I thought this was just an awesome compilation. I think it was not the B created a montage. You'll recognize the voices. You don't need me to tell you who they are. This is an AI generated. I was going to say slew. That wouldn't be very nice. This is a montage? Is that a bunch of Democrats speaking on immigration?
Democrats used to believe that border security and immigration enforcement were just common sense ideas. Don't believe it? Take their word for it.
Americans are right to demand better border security and better enforcement of the immigration laws.
We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked.
We've had 5 million undocumented workers come over the borders. It has become an extraordinary problem.
Jimmy, was that Barack Obama? He was the former president, right?
I think so, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Democrat, right?
Yes.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. And we must do more to stop it.
Biden, yes or no, would you allow the cities to ignore the federal law?
No.
Any city should listen to the Department of Homeland Security. The city made a mistake not to deport someone that the federal government strongly felt should be deported.
Just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean the child gets to stay.
We do not think the comprehensive health care benefits should be extended to those who are undocumented workers and illegal aliens. We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration.
People say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants from coming here? And the number one answer we give is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple.
Well, this is the craziest thing. Well, at least Bernie Sanders hasn't changed his tune.
Open borders. You're doing away with the concept of a nation state.
Oh, never mind. Thank you, Senator Johnson. Borders, biblical. Defending them, biblical. Deporting people who are not here legally or who will not assimilate. Biblical. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1727.
A spiritual awakening at Herrnhut, Germany, launches the Moravian Brethren as the forerunner of modern Protestant missionary movements. This 300-member group sent missionaries to Asia, Africa, North and South America, and the Arctic. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So stark, I had to check it. This is Wretched Radio, not the bee, posting a video. I believe it came from Elon Musk's account. It was titled in an article, "If this video played during the Super Bowl," which I don't know about you, but oh, I can't wait to watch Mr. Bunny at the halftime show. I think that's what you call him. Now, his friends just call him Bad. Reporters call him Bad Bunny. But, you know, much more formal. When he checks into a hotel, I'm sure it's Mr. Bunny. The point is the halftime. How ridiculous of a culture do we live in when we have to say that that we actually say that guy's name, that dude is Bad Bunny. We're going to let him call himself Bad Bunny. And we're going to have to say it too. You're Bad Bunny. And he's performing. And apparently, according to some people online, we're racist because we're not excited about a fellow who celebrates transgenderism and who is no doubt going to be taking a poke at ICE because he's thoroughly opposed to any sort of law enforcement in our country. I believe he's from Venezuela. Hey, don't we own Venezuela? Can't the president of Venezuela, I think his name is Donald Trump, can he put an end to this Mr. Bunny business performing at the halftime? Yeah. Somebody on the internet machine said, we don't want him performing at the halftime. We're not excited. We're going to watch the TPUSA thing that they're putting on, which I think you can find all over the place. I don't know how this stuff works, but it's on like Sling and what have you. TPUSA, there's a number of Kid Rock is the name that I reckon. He'll be performing apparently a family friendly halftime show because Mr. Bunny probably won't be family friendly. And somebody said, we're just doing it because we're racist. Oh, okay. That's why we're doing it. Except for all of the other times that there have been people who weren't white performing at the halftime show. No issues. This is an issue because the guy is overtly promoting something that is so bad for people, so anti-biblical, so sinful. And then we just, TPUSA said, let's do an alternative. Nevertheless, the name of the article at Not the Bee was, if this video played during the Super Bowl. And these quotes, the montage that they put together, it's like I had to go back to the article during the break to go, they didn't AI this, did they?
A nation, like all nations, has the right and obligation to control its borders. And no matter how decent they are, no matter their reasons, the 11 million who broke these laws should be held accountable.
Huh. I'm like, that's got to be AI. They didn't used to talk like that. What's the sudden change?
Decades, these weren't controversial or radical ideas. The only thing that changed is them.
Exactly. And I'd like to meet that guy and ask him if he talks like that all the time, because I don't think that he'd get his food at the drive-thru. I want 2 quarter pounders. Call somebody, 911, call help. There's a guy on there, sounds just downright scary. Apparently that is what they said once upon a time. What's changed? Yeah, of course, liberals have changed. They become more progressive, but it's really grounded in a worldview. This is all worldview driven, and it stems from a worldview that just simply isn't biblical. And that brings me to a bit of a dilemma. Jimmy, I'm kind of torn at the moment. I have a number of spoofs. I can't figure out which one would be the best one to play at this moment. What you got? I'll give you the option. You ready?
Okay.
If CNN covered Star Wars, that's a spoof.
Okay.
Yeah. And if liberals went back in time to assassinate Adolf Hitler.
Both of them are probably pretty good.
Let's see. One's 4 minutes long and the other one. Let's do the short one. We'll see if we've got time. Here we go. This is CNN. I don't think we need to play the whole thing. You'll get the point. Covering Star Wars in a world. Remember how every movie trailer, in a world where right is wrong and up is down, we present CNN.
Mm. Hello to our five CNN viewers. I'm Jake Tapper, First Order Fact Checker. We begin tonight with a disturbing report out of the Yavin sector.
This, by the way, this actually is AI. What's the Yavin sector? That's got to be some Star Wars sort of
thing. It's got to be.
Defense officials are telling us that the terrorist group known as the Rebel Alliance, a fringe coalition of religious extremists and smugglers, has launched a cowardly, unprovoked attack on the peaceful Death Star. Anonymous sources close to the Emperor tell CNN that this station was essentially a galactic housing project designed to bring affordable energy to the Outer Rim. Yet the radical rebel terrorists, led by the disgraced former senator and known white supremacist Princess Leia Organa, falsely claim it was a weapon. We are now joined by our chief imperial correspondent, Anderson Trooper. Anderson, what are you hearing from the core worlds?
The mood here is one of shock and outrage. Jake, I've spoken to several anonymous sources within the Imperial Senate who confirmed that Lord Vader was actually on a diplomatic humanitarian mission when his ship was aggressively boarded by these rebels. There is a lot of disinformation spreading right now. You have conspiracy theorists claiming the Empire destroyed Alderaan, but our fact checkers have debunked this. The official report clearly states Alderaan suffered a spontaneous planetary mining accident caused by rebel negligence. To suggest the Empire fired upon it is just baseless anti-government conspiracy theory.
Yeah, about that. Let's now, for your consideration, go back in time to progressives who, if they could jump into a time travel machine, would go back and, of course, kill Adolf Hitler. It's 1933.
So good.
Okay, Adolf Hitler is in a room writing something and somebody magically appears.
I'm a time traveler from the year 2025 and I've come here to kill you, Hitler.
Oh, not again. I'm never going to have enough time to finish these paintings with all of these time travelers trying to kill me.
Well, I'm going to succeed.
Before you pull the trigger, can I just ask why? Why do all of you people want to kill me?
Isn't it obvious? I'm a progressive, a liberal, a fighter for social justice. And you are a fascist who implemented a reign of terror. And while the effects of your policies devastated the world for decades, soon we will be able to take back the White House, and we will be able to use the government to force people to follow our great ideas.
You want to use government power to force your ideas on the populace.
Uh-huh.
Me too! That's fantastic!
What? No. Ugh. You and I have nothing in common. What I'm saying is there are people in our time with dangerous ideas, and we need to silence them.
Silencing those who disagree with you. I do that too! Oh, wunderbar! Oh, the Nazi movement will not die with me.
Don't give me that! I'm enlightened, and you're as bad as... Well, as Hitler. Listen. What I'm trying to say is we are very close to implementing a utopia, as long as we can get rid of some certain undesirable people groups.
Yes, like the Jews.
Yes, like the Jews. Oh.
So in the future.
No.
You also do not like the Jews?
Well, no. But we don't believe in segregating all the races like you do. I mean, except for like graduation ceremonies. And dorms. And hiring practices. Oh, and admissions policies. That sort of thing.
I, too, am a fan of the segregation. I'm sorry, I have to ask. Is this a real firearm or is this some kind of toy for kids?
It's a flare gun. I'm trying not to support America's toxic gun culture. I'm a firm believer in gun control.
Gun control! This was one of my ideas, too. And then from the undesirables. Yes, look here. Oh, and your shirt. This is an organization founded by Margaret Sanger. Yes?
Wait, you know about Margaret Sanger?
Jawohl, of course. Oh, she's such a lovely person.
No. She's a fighter for reproductive rights, for women's empowerment, and
the eradication of undesirable populations by means of eugenics. Brilliant lady, very inspiring. I must use some of her ideas in our socialized healthcare system.
Socialized healthcare? That's not your thing. That's our thing.
Oh, no, that's very much my thing. Did you know that Nazi means National Socialist German Workers Party? Nazi is just more catchy. Nazi, 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 Nazi. Rolls off the tongue.
No. This can't be true. This has to be some sort of mistake.
Uh-huh.
We are nothing alike. You're Adolf Hitler, evil right-wing fascist dictator, and I'm a feminist restorative justice advocate. And a vegetarian.
You're a vegetarian?
Me too! Okay, I am so confused right now. I came here with a clear goal in mind to kill the most evil man who I've ever lived. Besides Ronald Reagan. Now that I'm meeting you in person, you're not at all what I thought you were. And your painting is actually really good. What do you call it?
I call it Ein Reich ohne Juden.
An empire without Jews. Oof.
Wow. I don't know what that means, but it sounds beautiful.
It does. Doesn't it?
Time travelers revealing. I think we've got a political party with a worldview problem. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, the Trump administration leads off the news today as they continue to dismantle the Biden-era abortion infrastructure. HHS has rescinded guidance that pressured nearly 60,000 pharmacies to stock abortion drugs for federally funded patients, a policy critics call a clear violation of conscious rights and the Hyde Amendment. The Alliance Defending Freedom thanked the administration for eliminating the remnants of this Biden-era abortion mandate. Pharmacies can now follow their own professional judgment without federal coercion. Meanwhile, Planned Parenthood quietly dismissed its lawsuit challenging the funding provisions in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act after appeals courts ruled against them. The nation's largest abortion business reports about 50 locations have closed since Medicaid restrictions took effect. Turns out when you stop forcing taxpayers to fund something, it becomes less viable. South of the border, Costa Rica elected Laura Fernandez in a first-round landslide, and she's not mincing her words about abortion. She said abortion is nothing more than murder. And she's defending tougher penalties, including 4 to 6 years in prison. Fernandez vowed to continue advancing policies protecting life from conception. Pretty refreshing to see a leader willing to say plainly what science and scripture both confirm. Canada's government is now seeking new powers to cut citizens off from the internet without a warrant. Bill C-8 would allow the industry minister to order providers to pull service to anyone the government designates, with victims only able to seek judicial review after the fact. Industry Minister Melody Jolly defended the measure by citing the hostile actors and a chaotic world, but one conservative MP reminded her that the courts just ruled the Trudeau government's use of the Emergency Act against Freedom Convoy protesters was illegal, saying, quote, "Why should Canadians trust you with these extraordinary powers given your government's record?" And speaking of the troubling trajectory of Canada, a man in his 60s with cerebral palsy was euthanized under the MAID program, not because he was dying, but because he was lonely. Canada's euthanasia program has expanded 13-fold since 2016 and now grows faster than any in the world. Bill and Hillary Clinton have reversed course and agreed to testify before a House Oversight Committee investigating Jeffrey Epstein, right as lawmakers prepare to vote on contempt charges. No word on when they plan to appear. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus, or you can sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things you could do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to encourage new believers in their faith, reminding them of Christ's imminent return and exhorting them to godly conduct. When you consider Christ's return, beware of two errors: to live as though his return were not imminent, or to be so concerned with his return that we neglect his work on earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to be shocked, not once, but twice. This is Wretched Radio. Shocker number one, John MacArthur, the date, June 8th, 1988, the location, a Bible church in New Zealand. That's a lovely place to be from. Actually, I'd like to go to New Zealand. It looks absolutely gorgeous. I don't. All those episodes of House Hunter, I've never seen a house that didn't have an amazing view. John MacArthur there was 40 years ago, 40 years ago. So he must have been give or take in his 40s. He's stepping up to the podium. Somebody has made a request. They want him to sing. And you're going to hear the exchange between John MacArthur, the piano player, and somebody who makes a comment in the audience. And then you're going to hear John MacArthur sing. And I think you're going to be shocked because you're going to hear a man, I think, sing his heart. Perhaps you're used to the teaching of John MacArthur where he exposits the Bible and he does so forcefully. But behind that teacher is a man who loved the Lord. And he expressed it by singing. And the shocker is, he could sing really, really well. That is just so agitating to me. The guy, probably one of the best expositors of the Bible ever, was also given the gift of singing. Prepare to be shocked and frankly enjoy this.
Who did this?
That woman that God gave you.
The woman God gave you.
I'm not sure what key you're going to play in.
You just shrugged. You want to change?
I'll just figure out what to do when you get started. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you've given to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee.
I think his pitch is pretty good. The vibrato helps because, you know, a wide vibrato, you'll catch the note eventually. But I think he's pretty on key here.
To God be the glory. To God glory.
Well, that's enough of that. We'll move on to something. No, you want to hear the, does he have the big note in him and a key he didn't select?
To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
Now, I'm not sure. I'm watching the video that you can't see. I think he's singing this from memory. So as best I can read the situation, it was impromptu. Would you sing a song for us? They chose this one in that particular key. He's not looking down. There was no power, the big screen back then. I think if I recall, John knew a lot of hymns from memory.
Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, Let it go to Calvary. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God. For the things he has done.
Miss that man's voice, don't we? Something tells me at least some of the shenanigans we see these days would be abated because of his powerful voice, commenting on current cultural issues, commenting on different theological skirmishes and attempts to water down the authority of Scripture. Miss that guy right there. Shocker number two for your consideration. Let's do a word association game. That's kind of ironic. I said that with John. Yeah. So let's do a word association game. Jimmy, you're going to represent the tens and tens of people listening. Here is the word. You tell me a one word response. You
okay.
Ready?
Okay.
Puritans. There's your word. Puritans.
Okay. So theological, maybe?
That works. That definitely works. That would pop to mind. I think for a lot of us, yeah. We'd go theological. I think there's a pretty long list. We might say earnest, serious, perhaps dour. Some people, just based on the way that the word Puritan has been used for so many decades, oh, stodgy, not fun, killjoys. And it's all about denouncing sin and no affections are involved. It's just rules. There's one right there. I'll bet a lot of people would say Puritans, yeah. Rules, legalistic, Pharisees. How's about if I said a good word for a word association game with Puritans is love, specifically the love of God, would you perhaps raise a Spock-like eyebrow and go, no, not so much. They're not into that so much. They're more into how we should dress, how we shouldn't dance, not drinking alcohol, and a litany of laws that they think are best for us. No, I would argue love of God was preeminent in their thinking. Prepare for a shocker. Rebecca. Jimmy, do you remember Rebecca? She hasn't totally left us. After 5.5 years of just awesome service, Rebecca
left us.
You're crying. I'm smiling.
You liked Rebecca, admit it. How could you not like
from
Rebecca?
From a distance.
Sure. Jimmy seemed... There's somebody here at the office who doesn't seem to get along with the other pets. And it's Jimmy.
It's always Jimmy.
Yeah, it's always... He's like the pit bull. Yeah. Not getting along with the other... Why am I using this illustration with the other dogs in the pound? I have to tell you, I am so stuck on a loop right now of watching dog rescue videos, the short ones, because who's got the time for like 2 minutes? It's just where this dog is all sad in his kennel and somebody comes along and they're so happy. Sort of like the Puritans. Thank you for that segue, Jimmy. sort of like the Puritans. It was Rebecca who found this. She gave this to me before she left. I don't know why she had this in a pile. I think we were going to use it for Wretched TV. It was a very lengthy treatise, 10 pages long. So this was probably a sermon from one Octavius Winslow. And perhaps you would say, well, he isn't exactly a Puritan because he's 1870. Well, he's close enough. And the title of this very lengthy treatise is The God of Love. For this is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. That's Psalm 48. And he begins it by saying, quoting Luther, actually, it was a characteristic remark of Luther that he loved the personal pronouns of Scripture. Why? Because they show us the relationship that we have with God. And he wrote this treatise in an effort to help people. He said this, to endeavor to raise the believer to an elevated and proper standard in his personal religion is the design of these pages, to neutralize doubts, dissipate fears, confirm the faith of a single believer in Christ, aiding him to place his foot upon another and higher round in heaven's ladder, is a work worthy of a life. And so it is, this Puritan-like fellow dives deep into the love of God. And I suspect you might find that shocking. And if you do, maybe, just maybe, this is exactly what you need to hear today. Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this, it's all free, completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is prophecy. Prophetic books record God's warnings to Israel and other nations of the consequences of continued rebellion against Him and the blessings waiting those who trust Him for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, yes, I know this is a very big mistake. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you ready for word association game number two?
Yes.
All right, this one's a little trickier. Here we go. This is, and you're supposed to do it. You're a Puritan is what you are. All right, so, which you actually kind of are. So here's the words I'm going to give to you. You give me one word in response. You ready?
Okay.
A perfection of God in redemption. A perfection of God in redemption.
A perfection of God in redemption. That's salvation.
Okay. Could I perhaps insert mercy?
Yeah. Yep.
Grace.
Yes.
Forgiveness.
Absolutely.
When would love hit your list? If you were a real Puritan, and especially if you were one Octavius Winslow, you would say it's the love of God. That is the perfection of God that shines through most brightly, according to him. Quote, if one perfection of God shines out in redemption with greater effulgence than any other, it is this. Love is the focus of all the rest, the golden thread which draws and binds them all together in holy and beautiful cohesion. Are you shocked by that? Are you shocked that a Puritan would focus on what he believed to be the greatest perfection that shines through in the redemption of sinners, that it is love? Because maybe, just maybe, you have dug into the Puritans because you needed some fire and you found it. But did you also find the deep well of love that they preached about all the time? And maybe, just maybe, you need to hear this. Now, of course, we always want to be careful. If a correction is needed, if an adjustment is required, we can overcompensate, can't we? So, okay, you haven't been focusing much on the love of God. You've been studying other stuff. You've been hearing sermons that focus on more fiery things, justice, wrath, righteousness, that God is a consuming fire who will make sure that nobody gets away with sin. And you perhaps focus on the more severe attributes of God, perhaps you need a correction to focus on the softer attributes, if you will, kindness, mercy, grace. Now, we don't want to abandon the severe attributes because that would toss us into another ditch. But maybe you need to hear this word from one Octavius Winslow. Justice may have demanded it. Holiness may have required it, wisdom may have planned it, and power may have executed it, but love originated the whole of redemption and was the moving cause in the heart of God, so that the salvation of the sinner is not so much a manifestation of the justice or holiness or wisdom or power of God as it is a display of his love. Pastor, got a question for you. When you preach the gospel, and by the way, Octavius does in this, it sounds staggeringly current and contemporary because the gospel never changes. Do you remind your people about the love of God? I mean, really remind them that that was the driving force behind their salvation and the offering of forgiveness of sins? Yes, all of these other attributes are involved, justice, holiness, wisdom, power, but it is the love of God that is the driving force. Love set its heart upon man, yearned to save man, and resolved to embark in the expedient of his salvation. And this it did by conceiving a plan which would harmonize all of the other attributes of his nature and engage them in the divine and wondrous work of redeeming mercy. It is not without reason and design that we make the love of God the concentric truth from which we start. Pastor, to you, is that the force of your preaching? I'm not saying it's the exclusion of other attributes, but is this the people walk away, I would even say every Sunday, being reminded, wow, God really does love sinners. Individually, what are you consuming? Are you remembering this, or are you potentially overlooking this glorious truth? Because, well, maybe you're tired of all the squishy preaching that is out there. A believing apprehension of God's loving and lovable character, of the great love with which he loves his saints, lies at the root of all holy, filial, and unreserved obedience. You have thought of him perhaps as the God of holiness, as the God of justice, power, judgment. Listen to this Puritan's heart. Come now and meditate upon him as the God of love. And while you thus muse on this marvelous and soul-subduing truth, may the fire of a responsive affection kindle in your heart and your tongue break forth into thanksgiving and praise. And I would add to that, that your life be energized by this truth, that it drives you and propels you toward holiness, that it drives you and propels you to evangelism, how you parent, what your work ethic is. Everything should be illuminated by the love of God. This is the central perfection around which, as satellites, all the others resolve, and from which, as harmonized in the salvation of man, they derive their position and luster. So omnipotence, omniscience, all of these things, he writes, omnipotence is the power of love. Omniscience is the eye of love. Omnipresence is the atmosphere of love. Holiness is the purity of love. Justice is the fire of love. In other words, everything revolves around that. And that is why God is love should pop out at us. You don't read God is justice. You read that he's a just God. But the unique phrase, God is love, should jump off the pages at us. This is from a dead guy that I think most of us would have probably thought of as being pretty cold, uncharitable, unloving. Love is so completely the essence of God that it shines out in every perfection of his nature, and it is exhibited in every act of his administration. He is nothing and can do nothing foreign to himself. Consequently, he is nothing and can do nothing in which love is not the essential quality. Question, is that how you view God? I'm not saying that you shouldn't also fear him. That is replete. That's a refrain throughout Scripture, that he wants us to have a reverential fear for him. But it can coexist. It must coexist with the understanding that God is love. He writes this, let not the greatness of your transgressions appall you. Let not the deep needs of your soul discourage you. Let not the turpitude of your guilt dismay you. Let not the intensity of your grief overwhelm you. Boy, that's a word from a stodgy guy, isn't it? He's never going to wink at sin, but simultaneously to those bruised reeds who are constantly bending and even breaking under the weight of their guilt or their lack of what they think is a sufficient amount of faith. Listen to his word. Listen to what he's pleading with them. Hey, don't let your sins appall you. Don't be discouraged by these things. You deal with a God whose love is infinite and can infinitely more than reach the farthest extent of your need. Come with your great and your minor sins. Come with your deep and your shallow needs. Come to his infinite ocean of love in which the elephant may swim and which the lamb may wade. Man, that's just good writing, Scylla. He wants to encourage you today. Don't overlook the love of God. Into the ocean of divine love, let your heart, just as it is, plunge, repair with all its sin and sorrow and weariness to no other purifying, comforting source but to the shoreless, soundless sea of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, descend in simple, childlike faith into its depths and lose yourself amid its boundless infinitude. The love of God thus filling and overflowing your heart, all will be well. Winter will bloom into spring, and spring will blush into summer, and summer will ripen into the golden fruit of autumn. Oh, how the love of God changes the aspect of everything. Afflictions are then seen to be disguised blessings, trials, proofs of divine faithfulness. That is what a focus on the love of God will do for you. Question, is there a reason you have not allowed yourself to swim in that ocean? Is there a reason you're afraid to actually enjoy God, to delight in what he has done for you? Might I encourage you to do a little examination and ask why? What is it? What is the roadblock to you feeling awesome? Because the God who made you loves you despite all of your sins, despite all your wickedness and depravity, despite your rebellion, despite your unfaithfulness, that this is the God who loves. Might I encourage you, identify it and then toss that into a different sea, into the ocean of forgetfulness, and then swim in the ocean of God's love. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.